You sure?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, it is 6:02 p.m. on Tuesday, March 10th, 2026. We'll call the Common Council meeting to order. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Varga.
Absent.
Romano. Here. Weigold.
Here.
Bachelman.
Here.
Adamson.
Present.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on February 24th. Were there any changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
I make motion to approve.
I'll second.
Motion by Brent, seconded by Ryan. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Ryan, Brent, and Dan approve.
Abstain.
And Jennifer abstains. Next up is the Whitley County Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center Annual Report. Jennifer, come on up.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Council members, thank you for the opportunity to speak this evening. Over the past year, the Whitley County Chamber of Commerce has worked hard to support economic growth, strengthen community connections, and promote Columbia City and the surrounding county as a vibrant place to live, work, and visit. One of our biggest successes was hosting the largest Jeep event in the region this past May at Peaches Crossing. We welcomed over 300 Jeeps on display, drawing enthusiasts and visitors from across the Midwest. We even had a couple come down from Canada. Events like bringing tourism dollars into our community and introducing new people to the businesses, restaurants, and experiences that make Whitley County special. We already have over 200 registered for this year, and once again, we'll be at Peaches Crossing on May 16th. We also hosted a very successful Chamber Golf outing, bringing together 25 teams and more than 50 local businesses. Beyond being a great networking opportunity, events like this strengthen collaborations between our businesses, the community, and create relationships that help our local economy thrive. Promotion in our area remains one of our key priorities. Each year, we print thousands of visitors' guides, and we also provide a digital version available to all members and visitors on our website. These guides highlight local attractions, businesses, dining, recreation, and events, helping tell the story of Whitley County to those both inside and outside of our community. The Chamber also works closely with many local events and community traditions. Over the past year, we helped support activities such as the Skeleton Festival, the Little Pumpkins on the Square, and numerous other celebrations throughout the county. These events bring families together, create pride in our town, and help maintain the unique character of our community. In addition to the events and promotions, the Chamber is actively involved in community leadership. We currently sit on four different boards, including organizations that support our youngest residents and our senior population, from Children's First to the Council on Aging. We also assist with the city's comprehensive planning efforts and local economic development initiatives, ensuring the voice of our business community and residents are represented. Our work also extends beyond the local level. The Chamber regularly attends legislative reviews, state house functions, the Defense Summit Child Care Coalition meetings, and discussions surrounding the local food movement. Keep in mind, I'm your only Chamber member in the community. Being part of these conversations allow us to advocate for policies and opportunities that benefit the people and businesses of Whitley County. Another project we completed this year was the creation of the 24/7 access area of the Visitor Center, allowing residents and travelers to stop in any time to find information about upcoming events and attractions and things to do in the area. We are also proud to assist the mayor with the State of the City address and special projects within the city. We were able to consult and develop the test kitchen over at the Marshall Building, and I personally became certified as a state food instructor to assist the community in becoming trained as an owner-manager and certificate holders. This is also supports our food servers in our school district, local eateries, and food service establishments. Many in the past would have had to wait at least 6 months or to travel to Indianapolis. The Chamber ensures that our ambassadors and members stay informed and actively involved in our community efforts such as ribbon cuttings, nonprofit, and school. school activities. Looking ahead to the summer of 2026, the Chamber will be taking on an exciting new role as the leadership of the Whitley County Farmers Market. Our goal is to bring back a stronger and more vibrant Saturday morning market for both residents and visitors. As a part of that effort, I will also serve as the registered SNAP and WIP representative for the Whitley County Farmers Market. This is an important step in making sure families across our community, especially those that may not always be represented, have access to fresh and locally grown food and healthy options. We are also looking at working with Bowman Health and making this even stronger for our community. The Chamber's vision is simple: to cultivate a vibrant community of Whitley County with local engagement and the attractions to attract talent and organizations and embrace growth. We are passionate advocates and resources for the community. We all, our board and myself, appreciate the partnership we have with the city of Columbia City and look forward to continuing work together to move our community forward. Thank you.
Questions of Jennifer?
Thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it. Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it. Sure you don't want to say anything yet? Okay. Next up is ordinance 2026-8. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, second by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance 2026-8 by title only.
Ordinance 2026-8, an ordinance restating and amending Chapter 100 of Title 9 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
So again, this is the ordinance that adjusts some of the fees, if you were, or the structure, if you will, adds in the opportunity for fees to be assessed for downtown events. I will tell you on that note, the Board of Works did have a fair amount of conversation about those fees. I think we're still in the development process, but I think we've all generally agreed on maybe a per block standard fee for to kind of offset some of the cost from barricades to bathrooms to things like that. Ryan, we also had conversations about the police protection that you and I spoke about, and Gary as well. And I think what the Board of Works kind of came up with is maybe before the next council meeting, a bunch of us can kind of get together and hammer out some of those minor details that we can bring to the next Board of Works meeting about public safety and where that magic number is, where we effectively mandate in some way, shape, or form police protection for a certain level of individual, how many population, things like that. So just to give more context, because you weren't here last time, Jennifer, had a lot of conversation about the fact that there's lots of costs that go to the taxpayer for these downtown events that happen. And the concept of how do we offset some of those costs with the fees, because it does take janitorial services, it takes barriers and barricades, it takes things like that, signage for street closures, all those things along the way, that there's cost to that. And with the, obviously, the legislative changes backing off the amount of revenue we're getting, we're trying to figure out ways to offset that. But also, the idea of as our events have grown and as our community grows, it makes sense in some way, shape, or form to have some layer in which you have mandated protection, meaning, you know, police protection or whatever the case is. And so I think that's some of those things we're still massaging to get to where it maybe needs to be. But effectively, this ordinance just provides the opportunity for the Board of Works to establish some of those fees, those fee schedules.
Is there a plan where these fees will be posted?
So they'd be a part of the actual street closure permit, the actual permit. So just like we have a secondary page that goes for tent structures and things like that, they have to fill out if they have those structures. It'd be the same kind of thing. And so I think we're having, I would say there's a concept that we're struggling with, if you will, right now of do we revamp the actual street closure permit itself to kind of incorporate some of these components in? And ultimately, some of this is to say, what kind of space do you really need for your event? So kind of what we talked about at City Retreat, right? So is there a need to have four blocks effectively taken up for an event that really could be put into a block and a half or two blocks, right? And right now it's free, so there's no disincentive to take up those spaces, right? And it ends up potentially costing businesses time and money because their storefronts are closed off when there's nothing happening in front of those. So does that make sense?
Yep.
Hopefully it gives more context. Obviously, that's not sort of what this ordinance is about, but the ordinance just gives the parameters for which the fee structure can be created, because we don't want to put the fee structure into the actual ordinance. We want it to be separate like we've done it with other things.
Has there been any sort of comment from any of the groups or organizations that put on events?
So I know that there has been, Brent has had some conversations, as I understand, maybe from an Old Settler standpoint. We know that First Fridays has had conversations with the clerk's office. Joanne Bird, obviously, from a downtown business perspective, was here at the Board of Works and gave some really good comments and stuff. I know that for, like, our public safety festival, we've shrunk that into a one-block area rather than having two blocks or two and a half blocks. So there's some things like that. Have we talked to everybody? No, we've not talked to everybody, but we've started to kind of figure out what the key players or what general sense is, if you will, right?
Well, unfortunately, we're not the same safety factors that have taken place in the country here lately. And, you know, the things have changed where safety is probably more of an issue. We've had, in the past, we've had some things taking, you know, years ago. I remember when somebody drove right through our regular barricades and smashed into a couple rides. Thank God nobody was riding at that time, but I remember when that happened. We had a fire truck hit down at the other end during the parade, and so we've had situations. But, you know, knock on wood, it happened. But at the same time, you know, when and people come in from outside of our community, and not wishing anything bad to happen, but there's potential. And if we have, you know, if we've taken measures to try to remedy that, I was thinking it's a good idea to have a couple of police officers walking, because you never know.
Right.
But as long as we've taken precaution, you know, we've tried.
Right.
So it's probably a good idea, as much as I hate to say that, because when we say it's the same place, but you just never know when something crazy is going to happen that's out of our control. So I don't know. I think it's probably not a bad idea.
And this just gives us an avenue to implement.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's a scenario where it takes into account the current situation, right? Both financial situation as well as safety situation. And also, again, creates that kind of incentive of if you're going to have multiple blocks, then you need to make sure you're filling them, because it's not necessarily helpful for the downtown businesses if you have a block that's blocked off and you don't have anybody in that block, right? So some of those kind of components, it's a part of that. But and again, I don't think by any means we're trying to make up 100% of what we spend, if you will. But I think something to help offset some of those costs is what's really important. And I think Leslie said at the last meeting that First Fridays and her office kind of came to some kind of general agreement for the custodial work that ends up being, I think, something like $65 per event, if you will. It's like, I don't remember how. You can do the math real quick what that ends up being. But I think it ends up being like $65 per event. And that really stemmed from the fact that we had, you know, during a First Friday event, we had some issues with the bathroom that create a lot of work for our custodian staff, right? So so I think that's the thing, is we're not trying to, you know, cost or we're not trying to run up expenditures, if you will, and trying to get more money out of the event organizers, but we are trying to take the totality of the situation into account and make sure that our, you know, if you're going to have an event, that you're paying for that event, and if you're, you know, so making sure that the taxpayers aren't necessarily holding that bag, the full bag, let's say it that way.
Well, I have to say, I've witnessed First Friday people actually running trash cans around to put new without seeing those guys doing that work.
Yep.
Which that to me is amazing in itself.
Yep.
Instead of just leaving it stacked up there, but they work their tails off. So, you know, I don't know, I think it was that, but it's kind of the same thing. You know, they try to keep the place as clean as possible, which is great. Boy, they, a lot of people spend a lot of money there.
So if we vote this forward, does that, all it's doing is going back to the Board of Public Works?
So all this is doing is it's codifying the fact that there is a fee structure of some sort that the Board of Works would then create the fee structure. That makes sense? So this is all this is saying is it's putting in the opportunity for the Board of Works to create a fee structure into the ordinance is what that is.
And then once they create that, that's done or it comes back to us?
Then that would be done. So the reason why it's this way, and Marcia can probably, although I know she's working on something else, but the reason why it's put in this way is because in the past we've had fee structures put into the ordinance. Well, then every time you change the fees, $5 or $10, then you got to change the whole ordinance, go through two readings, all that stuff. So instead of doing that, put that on the administrative burden on the administrative board, which is the Board of Works, and let that kind of be able to be adjusted regularly rather than it being put codified into an ordinance.
And so, Dan, are you guys into the agreement that as far as the law enforcement goes, that's going to be implemented in this?
We had that conversation. I think we are in general agreement, yes, of wherever we figure out where that number is from a population standpoint,
or,
you know, let's say users, if you will, right, that would be somehow incorporated into that fee structure, yes. Yes.
I mean, what I don't want to happen is vote on it and then it just get lost.
Sure.
And then next year we'll be having the same conversation again.
I think
in the meantime, leaving people susceptible to bad things happening.
Sure. So. I think my plan is by the next Board of Works meeting, we would have a structure that the Board of Works can vote on.
Okay.
That's my hope. I mean, I'd like to get kind of, like I said, some parties together to really hammer out some of those details. But
okay.
Other questions regarding the ordinance? Okay, do I have a motion to, or can I have a motion to approve ordinance 2026-8 on second and final reading?
I'll second.
Motion by Ryan, seconded by Brent. Further discussion? All those in favor, show with the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Thank you.
Do you want me to go to department still?
Okay. You've not been forgotten, but I'm going to jump ahead to department head reports real quick, and then we'll come back around to you, okay? So, Sean, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so Monday morning, right after time change early at 6:45 a.m., we had a raccoon penetrate our fencing system at our west substation, climb to the top of a substation transformer, and throw a lot of sparks. So we had an outage that lasted about 32 minutes. I saw the flash in the sky as I was walking into work, so we immediately jumped on it. So I do have video of it, if you're interested. It's an interesting video. But we've since looked at some more insulating options and other ways to keep rodents off of that. It's happened twice in 20 years, but if we can prevent it from happening a third time, it's going to be wonderful for us. North Substation is under, going to be tested in 2 weeks. We take it completely down, feed everything off of our other two substations, go through all our relays, low tap changers, transformers. Everything on that property will get tested, and that'll be the second of third. The west is the only one still left, and we'll do that one next year. I was able to make it to Washington, D.C., and like some of us in the room, we did meet, and I have to list them out because I forget them all. Representative Yacom, Senator Banks, Representative Smarts, Representative Stussman, which was a pleasant surprise. We were set to meet with Carrero, his assistant, but he did show up and had a great meeting with him. Senator Todd Young is always a good one. So I was telling him that the biggest point he had with us was he wants to take all these data centers that we're putting all over big communities and just move them out to the deserts because, I mean, all they need is power and water, right? So it was an interesting conversation with them. It was a good trip. EPA does a great job every year. Obviously, the food was good like usual, but the meetings were So the APPA is the American Public Power Association has really stepped up that conference. They put a lot of education things in on Monday morning now, which we missed them all because they got it half an inch of snow and canceled every flight going east, coming out of everywhere. So no one could get there for the classes in the morning, but we still made it to all of our meetings. So appreciative of that and the mayor attempting to get there. The MSF roof and site guttering quote, I've got three quotes for a roof. One says we need a new roof. One says we need to coat the roof. And the other one says, no, we just need to fix the holes. So I think I'm going to move forward with the latter of that because it's going to save us about $78,000. As far as guttering, I've got three quotes. I'm waiting for one other quote to come back, and I'll probably bring that to the next meeting. Mm-hmm. Just guttering on that building is anywhere between $30,000 and $55,000 just for gutters. So next week, we're going to start interviews for our open position. Right now, we've got two we're going to interview. So I'd like to get that spot filled. And obviously, all of our trucks are fueled and had to load up material. So we're ready to go for this evening. Let's hope nothing happens, but we're always prepared in case it does. That's it.
Questions of Sean?
Saw a few pictures of you out there. You look really good. All suited up and tie.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
I fit right in.
You can take it back now.
I fit right in.
I will say I flew to Charlotte, turned my phone off of airplane mode, found out that my DC flight was canceled, went to the American counter, tried to find a flight. They could get me in on Tuesday night, which basically missed 2/3 of our meetings, and I was flying out Wednesday at like 1:30 in the afternoon. So I said, get me back to Fort Wayne, and they said, hey, there's a flight in an hour and 15 minutes. So I slept in my bed that night after taking a 2-hour jaunt to Charlotte.
Like Enterprise.
Yeah, that, yes. But I'm happy to say they refunded me my ticket price. So so that's good for Sean because it's his department that pays for that. So,
Well, Rick, it was the fourth flight I had booked.
Yes.
I finally made it successfully. So.
Yep. They're not used to getting snow out there in D.C., so yeah, not a lot at least.
It was all melted by 10 a.m., they said.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Thank you. Mike.
We started potholing for the lead lines. We're averaging about 9 a day. Bad news is all of them we potholed so far have been lead. So we're pretty sure that's what we're going to find, and that's what we are finding, so. Is we're batting 1,000
in the wrong way.
The fan for the aeration tank should be back next week, Peerless said, and also we have a meeting with Peerless tomorrow morning over the filters, so hopefully we get some stuff taken care of.
Question of the mic. Thank you. Chip.
Wrapping up the closeout for phase 1A of Eagle Park, that's the skate park structure and pickleball structures. We're having some issues with what the school donated, what the community fund donated. It's not lining up properly with what the feds have us showing, so it's kind of a struggle, but we'll get through that. Kind of trying to hustle getting the jail moved so we don't get the absorbent utility fees that are based with it, and also been working with a few developers that are coming back online and requesting TIF. So it's been a pretty good week.
Questions of Chip? Thank you. Matt?
The guys broke up the concrete on the way down to the four main fields to fix a water line that busted right at the end of the season last year. They're getting that all fixed up, and they'll be pouring concrete next week for that. We got the pickleball nets out at the Aquatic Center, and the basketball courts are open. I've seen a lot of people out there playing this week. And we'll have the bases out on the baseball fields by the end of March. That's when practice starts. And then we have opening day this year, April 25th. So that'll be our league's opening day. That's it.
Questions of Matt? Thank you. Terry?
The door controllers at the jail have been installed, so they're now handled on our back system, so we control those front doors. I worked with SOS over the weekend to get certs installed into our firewall so it would continue to operate properly. It only had a network outage of about 30 minutes or less, so that went pretty well. Met with Sean and Matt to look at putting the gas pumps on it at Morris Park, and in the process of building a new NVR for the security camera system. It's a recording device.
Questions of Terry? Thank you. Kelly?
Yeah, I talked with Pat Connor today from Purdue, LTAP. One of the things that they're requiring is to have a certified pacer rater. So I'm going to be taking classes on that to become a certified pacer rater, certified sometime here within the next month. And Sean's department, street department, are going to pair up to cut trees here, I think, next week. He's saying it's Chip's department that's spearheading it, but yeah, we do it every year. I think there's 15 or so on the list this year. So
I normally take them all out for lunch on my own dime. And
that's nice of you.
Continue running.
We normally get a tree list in November, too, not March.
Well, it was iffy.
Continue to run the sweeper and hope to get some alleys graded here as soon as it dries up, which doesn't look like it's going to happen here in the next day or so. So other than that.
Questions of Kelly?
Kelly, I can say one thing. Where I came from, our streets were deplorable. And so anybody that wants to complain, they're welcome to drive south to where I came from because you guys do a good job.
Thanks.
And I
appreciate it.
It's all
Appreciate that.
Thank you, Ray. Garrett.
All right, Officer Garmin, Officer Blocker, and Officer Dead End are down to about 6 weeks left in the academy after this week, so they're all excited about that. We're excited to have them back. Their graduation is April 24th, so it'd be great to have those guys back. But then they'll go into the FTO training, which is field training. But Officer Jansen and Officer Bedwell should be released at that time, so it's actually going to work out pretty good. So while they're doing their FTO, Officer Bedwell and Officer Jansen are working the road, helping taking calls and doing those things. So that'll help us out a lot as far as road coverage. Worked with the EMA today and did the Indiana severe weather tornado siren testing. All six of ours are working well. However, the one at Denzel has low audio and turns slow. This typically be a battery issue, which we got batteries on order. They should be here hopefully next week sometime. And I can get with Sean and see if Sean could help us out getting them in, so see where he's at. So, other than that, I've received a resignation letter from Officer Campbell. He's going to work insurance with his father. His father's been in the insurance business for quite some time, so he said he'd done some soul searching and realize that public safety just isn't for him. So, police work's difficult, and you know, dealing with people's problems, good and bad. So he just realized that I don't know what he's going to do with insurance, but I think he's going to deal with people's problems there too. Brian can probably attest to that. So other than that, just day to day, and with the weather changes, we had some pursuits and got warm weather. People get crazy, so hey, we'll deal with it.
Called job security, Gary.
That's right.
Questions? Thank you. Mike?
Staff took advantage of the warmer weather, started cleaning the UV structure. We're getting ready to install our UV bulbs here in the next couple weeks. I've also cleaned the EQ basin and ordered the chemicals for that structure. And the first quarter ARV inspections for the Steel Dynamics force main is taking place. So. That's it.
Questions on Mike? Thank you. Thomas.
I've been reporting for a while that we've been doing some research on 800 radios. We finally got that complete. Toby will be sending to Leslie output in your packets all the findings for 800 radios, and then he'll be here for the next meeting to present all of that to you. So if you have any questions, as you read through that material, feel free to contact us if you have any questions you might have.
Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, but the idea is to roll that cost into the funding mechanism for the truck as well, right? is to do a twofer, if you will. We're going to update it. We might as well do a twofer.
Are the police, Gary, are you guys doing your radios too? And if you are you doing them together?
We talked about that. I told Tom I wanted to get in on his bid.
We did some research on that, or actually asked, because there's other fire departments that asked about it. We got to talking to ERS, and there's no discounts for, you have to get into huge amounts before you get discounts.
Which is, what's huge amounts? A couple hundred?
We talked to other vendors as well. What's that?
A couple hundred?
What is the threshold in which you have to get those discounts? Is what
I will have Toby present that to you next board, that's our next council member, right? I don't remember those numbers.
Is that, and Gary, is that for replacing the dual bands that we already have, or just getting more in?
No, replacing them.
Crossing and processing out. Okay.
I mean, knock on wood, we haven't had many issues with the ones we have, but
yeah.
They're from 2011.
Yeah.
So, getting.
Yeah, go ahead. Dan has a question.
Well, I know I bring this up at our meeting, but. Will those new radios communicate with the next gen 911 that's being forced down our throats? I know the county GIS is preparing their GIS data for this next gen 911. I just wonder if, you know, is these new radios going to be able to communicate statewide the way the state's dreaming that it will happen?
Again, Toby's here with that. I know he told me all of this. I don't remember a lot of the fine details.
I think the answer to that is yes. When we switched over to the 800, it worked, and we had statewide operability because the state's pushing everybody to go to these 800. They're not paying for them, but they're pushing everybody to go to these 800 radios, so you can use it statewide, essentially.
Well, I knew way back when we were the first ones to make the switch over, and then communicating with the county, and there was some arm wrestling matches going on with that, kind of, so to speak, when we first went to the base 800. Or, I think, not base 800, but
800.
Yeah. 800, yeah.
Better.
Yeah, that's so, why we got the dual radios at that time, because they weren't switching, so we could switch over to VHF and talk to them.
That wasn't the right base
800. No, you're good. I knew it.
But I did talk to, a couple years ago, I did talk to Motorola, and obviously they're the newer and greatest radios, and Ed been working with our radios now, so he can attest to how the radios are going to work best now. So.
And I also don't want to take away from the fact that the council board of work decided they want to put the police on there. That is absolutely not my call. That's just
another
thing that's on that. Right, I'm just curious. Yeah. Well, that's what we're going to consider getting a discount, but you're saying there's a large amount.
I mean, that's, I hope.
Yeah. To continue on, 101 is still up for repairs on the coolant and oil leaks. Keep in mind those are very minor leaks on that engine. We have no concerns of it. And Adam keeps getting larger projects to away from that. So we'll get there. The breathing air compressor I've been reporting about that was down and was basically a brick. And Hoosier Fire found a computer to put in it. They did find the computer in Splash. They put it in it. It is operational. We let it be operational just long enough to take videos and pictures of it in operation and unplugged it. And it's on the website called Shop Garage, which is a fire department eBay, so to speak. And then we also found out good news because I was really worried about somebody tracking the financials of that. All financials will go through Leslie. So that it does, everything's up and out in public view. So, and then Mayor also has a copy of the website and Leslie also. So that was a big deal to me. Our new compressor will be here sometime in April. Kyle started another state certified class, Fire Officer Strategy and Tactics, which is a prerequisite to getting, one of the prerequisites to getting your Fire Officer 1. With several of our fire officers looking to retire in the next few years, we thought we better get some younger guys up and going so that they have all the prerequisites to step into some of the leadership positions. So kudos to Kyle for taking on the challenge of getting all that done. So other than that, oh, one last thing. Ed, what's today?
Today, or this week, was the Indiana Governor Braun recognizes the Indiana Severe Weather Preparedness Week. And today today we performed the Indiana statewide outdoor early warning siren test.
With that being said, just a reminder, with incoming weather this evening, we don't get anything that we need to do this, but if anybody would need to take shelter, make sure you go to the lowest place in your house that you can that has inside room with no windows. So just a quick reminder.
And I did get, by the way, I did on social media get asked about places for individuals that maybe live in trailer parks, trailer homes, if you will, or things like that, mobile homes. And I did tell them that our bathrooms at the front of City Hall are open 24/7 to the public. So if they need a place, if a last resort, if you will, but if they need a place to shelter, it's a block room, if you will. So that's an option for sure. But I feel like Fitchside Mobile Home Park has some kind of an agreement maybe with Kroger or something. I don't remember. I thought there was something for them over there, but I don't remember what it was. So that's okay. So anyways. Question to Tom. Sorry, deviated a little bit there. So okay. Thank you.
I got one real quick.
No, go ahead, Gary.
Reverse back to these guys over here cutting trees. I know Kelly was pointing fingers at Sean. Sean's pointing at Chip. I need to see if someone can cut a tree by one of our tornado sirens out at DePoy Drive. They said they got a report that it's about a foot away from the siren to turn. So if it grows up into that siren, it's not going to let it do what it's supposed to do. So
we just moved the siren?
Yeah. So if we can cut that down,
we'll build tree service.
We don't have a bunch of trees. So if we can get that on the list, whoever's pointing fingers, whoever's in charge of that, that'd be great.
What's the cost of moving a tree?
I told him Phillips Tree Service is pretty affordable.
Okay. Lily.
Okay. So I did get to mention this during the board meeting, but at the last meeting we did also talk about new applications for the freshmen and coming sophomores. And they did go out. My sister did fill one out. So there's people filling them out to get replace the graduating seniors. We talked about a pickleball tournament that we would like to have. We would like to do kind of a donation, so we'll have an entry fee, and we would donate all that money to BABE, I believe we decided on, and we're working with businesses around town to get together a prize basket for the winners, and we're planning on having it, obviously, at the Aquatic Center pickleball courts, and we're planning to do that at the end of May, beginning of April, beginning of May, so we're still in the works of that. And then we also did our service project at BABE. We helped put together some care packages and kind of helped do inventory of different clothing items that the families can get from there. And then we also met with the new superintendent and the interim superintendent, and we kind of got to listen to the plans that the new superintendent has for our school and kind of what he's doing right now about what our school system is about and kind of learning how to work with
everyone.
Questions of Lily? I have one thing to say.
Yes.
One is, on your pickleball tournament, have you ever organized a pickleball tournament before, and do you have people that you are working with to organize it?
Not really officially put together a pickleball tournament before, but at the Aquatic Center, I put together a lifeguard tournament with David Peterson and Tyler Kissinger.
Oh, Peter.
So I've kind of put it together, but
I just know that for our Old Settlers pickleball tournament, Vandersalls, which I don't know if you know Garrett.
Yeah.
That thing runs so smooth, so if you have questions, I'm sure they'd be happy to help guide you through that, how that tournament runs.
I was going to ask one of them, because I struggled with it.
No problem. I just wanted to help get you some references if you need it.
Yeah.
So.
Any other questions? Thank you. Okay, so as you may have seen, 2026-9, the amendment vacation of the public way, we're going to table that, correct, ladies?
Yes. They will be sending me what they prepared.
Okay.
I'm going to get it ready.
Okay.
Weren't they already here once asking for something?
They were, but there was a problem with the actual survey, right?
The legal description. And what they presented, there's it's still wrong. So I'm going to get it all corrected and get it back to you.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things I wish we had a GIS coordinator to read through those legal descriptions.
Any volunteers?
That would have stopped some of that.
But typically, all ordinances are prepared by me. And this was one that was prepared by the petitioner. So, that's why I've requested to please have all ordinances come through me. So, that's part of it.
But that's what I did when I worked for the city. I read through those legal descriptions when I worked for the city to make sure they were written properly. And always turn it back over to Marshall or whoever.
Yeah. So, typically, what makes it easy is I get those surveys in a format that I can simply copy and paste. So I'm not even typing them up, which that's how I know they're correct, because they're coming directly from the survey onto the ordinances. Yeah. So anyway, that's what the whole brouhaha was. I was hoping to do it, but they couldn't get it to me in a form that I could change while I was sitting.
Yeah, it was nobody's fault. It just, this happened. I mean, that's what I caught sometimes when I was doing the work for the county or the city back when, because then I visited the county.
When we had to type all those out, it's tough.
Yeah.
Those can be tough. That's why it's nice. But anyway, I just wanted you to know it'll be on the next
video. Are we requiring them to have the easements on the survey that they're recording for that? I know there was verbiage in there about acquiring easements for gas line or whatnot, working with those companies. Are we requiring that those be in place before?
I don't. That's up to you all.
We didn't approve it that way last time.
No, you've already approved it. This is purely an amendment to correct the legal description, is all this was.
Okay, fair enough.
Any other questions on that? Okay, we'll table that. Anything else? Marcia?
Nothing.
Sal?
Nothing.
Okay, a couple of things for your information. Tomorrow we have our final comprehensive plan steering committee meeting. Yes. It's at 1 o'clock, Dan. So the plan is that at the, let me double check this real quick. Yes, at the first meeting of April, first council meeting of April, that the comprehensive plan update draft will be coming in front of the council. Okay. I believe that means that the actual comprehensive plan draft will be coming in front of Plan Commission in that the first Monday? Or whatever the Plan Commission meeting is there in April.
Yeah. I don't know about that city plan.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So just so you're aware, we are almost there. Nathan and I spent an hour going through that document with our plan team and just nitpicking it and some things like that. So that is right around the corner. Friday is my State of the City address. Thanks to the Whitley County Commerce and Visitor Center for hosting that at the library. Should be a nice event. Also, I will be heading to D.C. on Friday evening. We'll be getting back on Wednesday night. I have a National Youth Cities Conference out there. Hopefully, I'll actually be able to get to D.C., number one. And number two, actually get to speak with our representatives and senators this time. I will be out there, but we'll be, as always, available by cell phone and email. See what else is going on here. AIM has their annual legislative webinar wrap-up session on Thursday morning at like 10 a.m. If you're interested in that, let me know. There's a ribbon cutting for a Hope Center at the new location downtown on Friday the 20th. And I think that's about all I have at this moment. Jennifer!
Hang on a second here.
Okay.
Okay. I just wanted to mention that the Columbia City Arts Commission is sponsoring Columbia City High School's, they used to call it Spring Fling, now it's called Whitley County Consolidated Creates. There's an art show for kids, grades K to 12, and then there's also they're working with student entrepreneurs and artists to market their own stuff and have it available. That is from 10 to 1 at the high school on March 21st. So
cool.
Definitely something to check out. We're supporting it, obviously, because we want to encourage people of all ages to do and enjoy art. So
right.
funds that are raised through that event go to provide scholarships to students, too. So we're here in support of that. The other thing I had was more of a question. I probably should have done some research first, but I didn't really think about it until I was on the way here. Do we have parameters in place for every year we have the event called Trash Pickup, also Trash and Treasures?
Okay.
As far as when can stuff start appearing at the curb,
yeah,
and when does it need to go away?
Yes.
Because I am starting to see piles forming, and it seems, yes, a bit early.
Yes. So in our junk pickup regulations, we say that junk should not be placed out to the curb any earlier than 2 weeks prior to junk pickup. And on that note, I should mention that instead of having 2 weeks of junk pickup, we'll be having 1 week where we'll get the whole city picked up with the junk pickup, if you will. So now, with that being said, all the junk that's to be picked up by the trash company will be gone hopefully by the end of that week. If it is not out by, you know, Monday morning at 6 a.m. of that April whatever week, I don't have it down right now, but whatever that week is, it's not guaranteed to be picked up. So that's kind of the first thing. Second thing is there's another kind of list. That's the tires, the appliances, the things like that that our street department picks up. And I think your plan is to pick that up the first week of May. Does that sound right? Sticks, something
like
that?
Be like the Tuesday or Wednesday, yeah, of that.
So those will be out for a little bit longer, assuming that they're still out and don't get picked up by somebody else.
Okay.
Do those have to be called in?
Yes, those have to be called in. So I continually tell people, get on our website, go to the junk pickup tab for city services, junk pickup, and it has all of the regulations and stuff. There are things like anything upholstered or mattresses or box springs have to be wrapped in plastic and taped. Broken glass or glass has to be broken down, put in a box, taped up, and marked broken glass. Paint has to be dried out, et cetera, et cetera. So lots of regulations
last
there.
Last year, was couches needed to be covered with plastic?
Also have, yes, anything upholstered.
Which I saw some that weren't, and
yes,
they ended up being out there for,
yes,
a long time.
Yes, and so that's the other thing is keep in mind, last year when we had junk pickup, we did not have an ordinance enforcement coordinator. We now do. But, yeah, so please, residents, if you're watching this or if you get calls or whatever, 2 weeks prior to junk pickup is when we've encouraged people to be putting stuff out, not earlier than that, because again, we are not out of winter. I know it feels like it today, but we get snow into April, so we're not there yet, but yes, that is the parameter. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
Probably people need to do something about the piles that are already starting.
Gotcha. GP, you hear that. Okay. Brent?
I have nothing.
Ryan?
Don't forget, we need to send out that alert. The
we
recycle
did.
We
did.
Send that. Okay, the,
yes,
recycle center's taking tires.
Yes. Yes.
And then I spoke to Tom yesterday. I've asked him to come up with a map, if you will, of, and you and I spoke about this, and Brent and I spoke about this, but for some concrete barriers, if that's possible,
mm-hmm,
for some of these downtown events that have a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Dan said it earlier, it takes one person to drive through and it's not a pretty sight, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's time, past time, that we start looking at stuff like that. And
yeah, we also discussed we don't have any concrete
that wouldn't be on us. That'd be on the people hosting
but,
the event.
You know, how do we, where do they,
there's companies that come and drop them and then pick them up. It's just like renting a porta potty. So that mean we would have to talk about that, but that's again but I'm also cognizant of the fact that the taxpayers don't need to fund that kind of stuff. So you want to host, and I'm all for festivals. I love them. My wife and I love them. But you want to host it, you pay for it, right? So I don't think many people, as far as people paying taxes, would disagree with that. So just something that I've asked them to do and come up with a map where they would feel comfortable if they had to get apparatus in or out, what that would look like, as opposed to just going through them. So just know that he's going to come up with something like that, and we can chat about it.
Okay. Thank you. I know. Anything from the audience? Okay.
It doesn't have anything.
Ed doesn't have anything.
All right, since you asked for
Ed, right,
come on, Ed.
He sat through this whole thing and didn't say
anything. And right now, there's no storm cells coming our way. So
no,
no,
it's
good
actually
game.
Looking like we're pushing off to the later in the morning.
That's too
tomorrow. Good afternoon. Good evening. Council, Panic Gallery. For those that don't know me, my name is Edward Scott. I'm the Director of Emergency Management, Office of Homeland Security for Whitley County. I became director back in April of 2025 when Director Baker retired. One of my goals coming on as director, one of my things I want to do is try to get more involved at the local level in all four of our cities and towns. And so the idea behind that is we have four councils that we can go to, and once at least 1 year, 1 quarter, we will come visit and just sit and be here. And that way we get an idea of people that may not know us or our face. I'd rather see some of you now, so that way at 3 o'clock in the morning, other than Tom, we know who we are ahead of time. We're here as a resource for everyone, and I want to make sure that's known. And I think, again, it's some of the meetings, even if we just sit back and relax and enjoy the show, I think that will help with it. So we will see us. You guys got first quarter because our outdoor events support season is about to start, and of course, Columbia City is our biggest customer for events, and it seems like for the next few months, that's all we'll be doing on the weekends. So, ready to get the new year started. And no, we're not getting no more snow. I'm done.
Okay. Hear that, Kelly?
Let's get it down to 14 next week.
I
don't know if you've seen that.
Come down before the season. So, thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Ed.
One last thing, actually, that even though, not for you, Ed.
Oh.
Not for you, Ed. Although you did trigger it in my brain, is that last time after our conversation about the rules and etiquette about with meetings that we passed that ordinance, I got to talking a little bit with Leslie afterwards and wanted to make sure the council was okay with it, but I do think that we should probably add onto the agenda a public comment period at the beginning of the meeting rather than at the end of the meeting, and the value there is that if they want to talk about something on the agenda, once we get to the end of the agenda, after we've passed stuff, that's when we give the opportunity to speak. So I want to get your input on that about maybe putting public comment at the very beginning of the meeting after minutes. But again, I'm open to whatever you want to do. The more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, we go through these agenda items and then have public comment at the end, and if they're coming to speak about something on the agenda, and it's not a public hearing or a public comment period for that specific issue, any strong opinions? Don't care.
I'm totally in favor of that.
Yeah.
I think
Okay. So can from here on out, can we put public comment after minutes on the agenda, please? Thank you. Okay. That being said, we'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.